This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit YahooFinance.com, the number one financial destination, YahooFinance.com.
This is Internet Marketing. Brought to you by Site Visibility at sitevisibility.co.uk. This is Internet Marketing. Now, before we start today, we'd like to encourage anyone looking for help with their digital marketing to get in touch with Site Visibility. Whether you have a burning digital marketing question or you're looking for an agency to work with, they'd love to hear from you. Give them a call, +44 1273 733 433, or you can fill out the form at sitevisibility.co.uk/contact, or you can speak live with either Scott or Sean via their magic live chat function on the site. They'd be more than happy to help. Now, today I am joined by Nick Usborne, copywriter and founder of conversationalcopywriting.com. Nick, how are you doing?
Good, well, thank you.
You're in Canada, aren't you? But you don't sound very Canadian.
I'm mid-Atlantic. I got wet feet, so I'm born and raised and bred in England, just a little north of you. I'm a Sussex boy.
Yeah,
and then came over to Canada about 30 years ago. Moved all over, but I've been in Montreal for the last 15 years.
Yeah, we were having a conversation before we pressed the record button, and it turns out that Nick used to live in literally the same place that my daughter's boyfriend's father's sister's son's nephew lives at the moment. It's not very far from here at all. So you're a Sussex boy.
I am a Sussex boy. I'm a Sussex farm boy.
Fantastic. Well, apart from the fact that you're a Sussex farm boy, tell us a little bit about yourself and what you've been doing.
I am. Oh, you want the brief history of me?
Yes, yes, but within 3 minutes, if possible.
All right. So, being a farm boy, I was slave labor, and then when I got to about age 20, my dad gently nudged me out of the house, told me to go to London and get a proper job, which I did, and I kind of fell into advertising. I had no idea that advertising agencies even existed, but I was living in a shared house, and somebody worked in an ad agency. I said, "Is it fun?" They said, "Yes." So I grabbed the yellow pages. Wrote 20 letters to the to, I think they were all starting with A, B, and C, and on an old manual typewriter, got 3 interviews, 1 job offer, took it, and suddenly became a copywriter and loved it. And I've been doing that ever since. I've worked at some agencies, mostly I've been freelancing, working with originally companies in England, more recently lots of North American companies mainly, and love it. So next year is my 40th anniversary as a copywriter, and I'm still enjoying it, still having a good time, so I'm kind of blessed in that regard.
That really takes me back, you know, the yellow pages. I remember the adverts, "Let your fingers do the walking." Half of our audience will be far too young to remember that.
And they wouldn't have used an old manual typewriter to write those letters
They wouldn't have had a massive yellow book with very thin pages, just full of adverts and telephone numbers. Anyway, copywriting. I'm glad we're talking about copywriting because we haven't had that on the show for a little while. And I like your approach because you're very kind of, I think you're a man after my own heart, you're very kind of, you like to write in a human way as opposed to a markety way. That's probably a better way of describing that. But let's talk about one of your pet hates. This does feel like the UK show Room 101. I'm going to go slightly Brummy like the guy that presents it, but let's talk about one of your pet hates. What do you want to send to Room 101? It's marketing automation, isn't it?
Part of it, like, hey, on the one hand, marketing automation is great. I'm sure you use it. I use it. It's amazing to be able to press some buttons and check some boxes and have stuff, emails go out or systems kind of kick in and stuff happen. So I'm not averse to automation per se. I think it can be really, really helpful. What I am is when people, what drives me crazy is when people use automation to automate the appearance of being chatty. Like I hate it when I get that email that says, "Yo, Nick, comma, I was thinking about you this morning." And at that point, I just stop.
No, you weren't.
I think, no, you were not. You're lying, whatever. Because I know this email has been sitting in that freaking funnel, that sales funnel, but you wrote it 6 months ago. So the automation of pretend friendship, really, it just drives me nuts. Now, it drives me nuts, I guess, partly because this is what I do for a living and I try not to be that person. But I also think a regular person, now they don't see it, they don't think, oh, this is part of an automated funnel sequence. But I think after the third or fourth time, a regular person who's not in this business gets that kind of message, something must begin to tickle in their mind thinking, you know what, this is kind of weird. This is the third person this week who's pretending to be my buddy and said they were thinking about me this morning. And I just don't think that's a sustainable way to pretend to have a relationship. So yeah, that drives me nuts. The automation of being my buddy when in fact we're complete strangers.
And this kind of feeds into copywriting and writing in a more human way, doesn't it? Do you think though, if somebody wants to automate it? Because I have thought a bit about this myself actually. I mean, there are some kind of, if you look at large numbers of people as opposed to individual, I mean, me and you are a bit of an exception. We hate this kind of stuff to a certain degree because we kind of know about it. But do you think if you were going to automate it, you could kind of get around it a bit by almost taking the mickey out of the automation, but saying something in the email like, guess what? This is another one of those annoying automated emails where I'm going to pretend to be your friend.
Right. So this is one of the things I talk about when I'm kind of on my soapbox talking about conversational copywriting, is the idea of transparency. So I do precisely that. I send out an email, like I have an email list of people who are interested in conversational copywriting, but I also have a course, and these people that haven't purchased the course, they just like hearing me chat about it. So I wrote at them a while back and said, hey, look, I'm going to pretend to do this thing. You know how they have these last chance emails, you know, that price is going to double at midnight tonight, buy now.
So I was scarcity.
Right, the scarcity. And you can have real scarcity, but mostly it's made up by the marketer. So I said, look. And I was totally transparent. I said, look, let's not do that because you know me, I know you. I said, let's just pretend that that's happening and just buy it, all right? Just buy the course. Nothing happened. So the next week I sent out an email saying, okay, guys, I tried to be nice about this, but I said, today we're going to do the scarcity thing. And I said, the price is going to go off at midnight tonight. I said, I warned you last week and you didn't pay attention. So this is your last chance. And I got like 20 sales before lunchtime. So then I write back the next week and I say, well, isn't that weird? I said, you know, even when I'm transparent, even when I'm telling you the device I'm going to use to make you buy, it still works. And when I tell you about it and I don't use it, I get no sales. So then we get this wonderful balance between here's how marketing can work, but you don't have to be, you know, I was totally transparent about it. Yeah, and that's what, in fact, a lot of the people on the list love about it, is that I talk about marketing, I talk about copywriting, but I never try and play them. I'm always totally transparent about what I'm actually up to. And I think companies can do that. Now, maybe not to that extent, but I think there's huge opportunity for companies to be much more open and transparent and just genuine and engaging, and to stop with the old school pushing messages, broadcast messages at an audience. Instead of selling at the audience, engage with them. Like, acknowledge that your business is actually just made up of regular people who've actually just happened to have come into work and now they're part of the company for the day.
Yeah. I mean, you talk about this sort of thing? I know that one of the things that is sort of related is, because you were mentioning early before we pressed the record button that you've had experience where website designers kind of come to you after they've done a load of design and say, oh, let's fill this empty website full of words now. Because I know that's another big bugbear for you, isn't it? Tell us a bit about that.
I think at its basis, like I've had this experience forever. I wrote my first website back in 1995. And from that day on, whenever I'm working with a team, and I was involved with lots of startups in the kind of late 1990s, and the technology guys, the developers and the designers would have all created this wonderful website. And then literally they'd hand me a template and say, oh, by the way, everything's done. Can you just write in the words, please? And don't go more than 77 characters for the headline. Because that wouldn't fit. That wouldn't look very nice. And I'm like, seriously, you think the words are that unimportant that you come to me at the last minute and then tell me I can only use 77 characters? And that drives me nuts, because if you go to a web page and you strip out all the design and leave the words, you got something. Go to a website, leave all the design and take out the words, you got nothing. Ultimately, it's the words that drive action or engagement or the sale or the sign up or whatever. So, yeah, that absolutely drives me nuts, is where people think that the words are unimportant, because they're not. They're not. And it's like, hey, I'm going to go back to a dating analogy. Like, some guy goes on a first date and he thinks it's about what he wears and whether he had his hair cut and what she's wearing, or whether, you know what I mean? It's like, yeah. It's not. It's actually about the conversation you have with the other person. That's what's going to make that other person either like you or not like you. It's not so much, hey, sure, you don't want to go wearing your worst clothes to a first date. But really, it's the words in any relationship. It's the conversation that you have that really makes the big difference.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey everyone, I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently, Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Right, I'm going to be very controversial now. I might get beaten down, or I might get slapped down for saying this, but hopefully not. You just said something that made me think, because I've historically been quite vocal about, because I'm a developer rather than a marketer. And I, in the past, I still am, I'm quite vocal about, I wish there were more women in software development.
Right.
And I'm kind of wondering if the female mindset has got it a bit more right than the male mindset, because, you know, you were just talking about, like, a bloke will go out and he'll, like, worry about what he kind of has, he got the right watch on, and has he sort of sprayed his armpits and stuff like that. Whereas I think a woman would more think in a more holistic way, like the whole package of the conversation. Do women, in your experience, make better copywriters than men?
I don't think so.
No,
and I don't think men make better copywriters than women. I've got some favorites of Susie Henry is a huge favorite of mine. So she her heyday was the 1980s and 1990s. She's still teaching today. David Abbott, British copywriter from the same period, I'm a huge fan of his. I also, like, over the last decade or so, I've done a huge amount of teaching. So I teach a lot of copywriters. I look at a lot of kind of homework submissions, as it were, from male and female writers. And I get what you're saying, like maybe a female would bring a more holistic view to it. I'm not sure that's, it's not been my experience. I never kind of anticipate either way. I see wonderful copywriters who are male and female, and I haven't seen just their sex giving them a particular advantage or disadvantage.
Maybe I'm generalizing too much. Let's move on. Let's talk about the web as an interactive medium, because I know that one of the things that you talk about a fair bit is the fact that the web isn't just like a publishing medium. It's interactive these days, and everyone's an author. Right. What are your thoughts there?
Well, I think there's a huge opportunity for companies here in terms of the written word, because, again, when I started out, it was all broadcast media. So I was writing like a TV commercial or a print ad where I was writing a sales message, which was then broadcast at an audience. And there was no feedback. You can't talk back to a television or a print advertisement. So that was broadcast copywriting. Today, the web is a totally different medium. It's a two-way, it's a multi-way medium. In fact, I can not only talk back, I can be a creator as well. You can create a movie. Hey, I can create a movie as well. I can create a movie and publish it on YouTube if I want.
Yeah.
And in fact, regular people create more content each day than media companies do or companies do, you know, particularly if you take into account social media. Mm. So the medium really is utterly different. But when I look at, you know, how different is marketing copy today, or business writing, the gobbledygook of business writing? You know, marketing writing, business writing, how different is it today than it was before the web? And the answer is not much. Mm. I see very few companies truly take advantage of the difference, of the benefits, of the opportunity of, hey, what's possible if in fact I listen. We can go back to the dating analogy. You know, a good date happens when you actually stop and listen for a minute.
Yeah.
Same online. I think the best copywriting I've done online is where I've invested a ton of time listening to my audience, listening to their language, listening to what upsets them, what delights them, what they love, what they hate. The more I listen to an audience first, which I can do on the web, I couldn't really do it offline. We had focus groups and stuff, but it was a very blunt instrument. Online, I can get really granular in terms of listening to my audience before I write. And then I can write to them, and I can write to them in their language. I can write to them addressing their interests, their fears. I can be far more reader-centric rather than business or company-centric.
Yeah.
And everyone can do that, but hardly anyone does. They still do this old school selling at an audience. And that drives me nuts, because it's just such a huge wasted opportunity.
I always remember, because a lot of what you're saying reminds me of when I first started doing podcasting back in 2006, because I didn't do just this one. I did quite a few other ones as well. And there was a chap called Jason Van Orden. Jason, if you're listening, hi. I don't think he's a listener, but he was certainly very active then with podcasts. I think he's doing other stuff now. But Jason always said one thing that always stuck with me when he was describing podcasts as a sort of way of kind of promoting yourself. He used this phrase, and it was, if you use a podcast to tell people about what you can do and how you can help them, you don't have to be all salesy. Does that ring true to you? Because it reminds me of good copywriting. If you can copywrite in a good conversational way that shows people how you could help them, do you think that's a good way of not being all salesy?
Yeah, absolutely. So, and in fact, I think the best copywriters have always been conversational. And by that, I mean, so people say to me, but hey, Nick, you can't actually have real conversations. And I said, no, but you can have conversational language. And by that, I mean that let's say I write a piece of copy, like a sales copy. Mm. I then suggest to people, if I'm teaching, I say, look, imagine you're sitting across the kitchen table from a member of your audience for that writing. Now read it out loud.
Yeah.
Does it sound stupid? Do you feel awkward or embarrassed because it sounds manipulative and salesy? Are you tripping over your own writing because your paragraphs and sentences are too long?
Yeah.
Does it sound off if you read it out loud? So that, in a sense, is my definition of conversational copywriting, is if you can read it out loud to someone or imagine they're there and it feels natural and sincere, then that's perfect. And yes, I think if you do that, I'm kind of avoiding your question in a way, or, yeah, or not answering it. But yeah, I think if you do that, people respect that. People like that, like the fact that you're being open and you're speaking to them naturally and you're not being salesy and you're not using business gobbledygook or pretending to be clever.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But then going back to what I was talking about when I was being transparent in my emails and saying to people, hey, the price actually will go up this evening. I'm not saying ignore best practices in terms of sales or marketing. I'm just saying you don't have to be you don't have to be salesy about it. You can be sincere, you can be conversational, you can speak like a naturally, like one person to another, and still employ those devices, but do it in a way that isn't creepy.
Yeah, it's like a balance, isn't it? It's striking a balance, which is quite
exactly.
If you had if you could condense this into just one top tip, I hate that phrase, top tip or key takeaway, sounds very corporate. If you could condense this down into one top tip or key takeaway, can't even say it properly, for our audience tonight, what would it be?
For our audience tonight, what would it be? a takeaway. All right. So I'm going to try not to repeat myself, which is often a struggle for me. Hey, so I'm going to say, so a tip for this kind of writing is try to include your reader. And by that, I mean, maybe I'm going to do that by asking, if I say, I'm going to try and sell you a vacation. Yeah. I can say, this vacation spot has these five wonderful blah, 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 blah. Or I can say to you, that's the traditional broadcast way. Or yeah. I can say to you, hey, Andy, think about the best vacation you ever had. What were the things you loved most? Now, as soon as I do that, I'm actually, instead of you being the recipient of something, I've now engaged your mind. Or I can say, Andy, imagine, if I use the word imagine, I can ask an open-ended question, I can use words like imagine, and as soon as I do that, you then become part of this process. I'm still the writer, but you are kind of working with me in a way, because you're now remembering things about vacations. I don't know what they are, but I've included you. And again, I think the idea of being able to include the reader in the process is hugely powerful. And again, it gets you out of that pushy, salesy broadcast mode.
Yeah.
And particularly if I've been listening to you, if you say to me, I wish vacations cost less. If I hear a whole bunch of people in my audience saying that, I'm now going to mirror that. I'm going to say, do you ever wish vacations costed less? If I mirror your language, in other words, I'm listening to you, I'm being respectful of what you're thinking, and I mirror back your language, you're going to immediately feel, oh my God, he gets me.
Yeah.
Which so the trust. Idea, yeah, which builds trust. So, yeah. So if I, as my tip, as my takeaway, the outcome we are looking for here.
For
our audience tonight, the outcome we are aiming for is that when you're writing any kind of promotional sales copy, try to be inclusive, include the reader, let them be part of this process.
Oh, Nick, thank you so much for coming on. So how can our listeners find out more about you, your book, and your various online properties?
My properties. Right, well, just go to conversationalcopywriting.com and I've got information about my course. I got a blog there, tons of blog posts you can read. I have actually put together a page at conversationalcopywriting.com/Andy with a small A.
Oh, thank you. That's just for me, folks. No one else can go there. No, you can go there. Everyone go there. /Andy.
Go there, and you'll see me. You'll see me doing that balancing act of, yes, I'm going to ask for your name and email address, and I'm going to give you stuff in return. But if you're brave enough to do that, then hopefully what you'll see is that after that, I actually engage with you in a way that isn't too salesy or pushy.
That's great. So thank you so much. So just for our audience again, it's conversationalcopywriting.com/Andy. Sorry, Nick, I interrupted. I think you were about to say something, weren't you?
Yeah, but I forgot.
That's the beauty
I'm sure,
of having,
I'm sure we'll live without it.
That's the beauty of having a video feed. You get all these like little facial cues and he was about to say something and now I'm talking over him. Yes. So Nick, thanks so much for coming on, and thanks for listening, all of our lovely listeners. The show notes, including that link, the /Andy link, but everyone can go to it, will be at the show notes page, sitevisibility.co.uk/impodcast. If you're enjoying the show, please leave us a review, because that helps us to, you know, get a bit bigger and better and get to more people. If you've got suggestions or questions, email them to podcast@sitevisibility.co.uk. You can tweet at Site Visibility on Twitter. And we also have a Site Visibility group on LinkedIn. Well, that's all from me, Andy. And it's all from Nick.
Bye-bye.
And we'll see you next time on Internet Marketing.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.